Hello and welcome to Out and About, a Bailiwick Express podcast. I'm Kit Hannah. This week I've been in Sark, one of the smallest Channel Islands, for a meeting of Chief Pleas, the island's government, in their quarterly government meetings. This was the Easter edition. I'm currently sat in the beer garden of the Bel Air Inn at the top of Harbour Hill, one of the most popular drinking spots in the island. So join me for an episode of Pubcast as we discuss the ins and outs and the fallout from this week's Chief Pleas meeting. In true Stark style, grab yourself a drink and let's tuck into the action. The most fiery aspect of this week's meeting was the motion of no confidence vote into the Duzane Committee. That's a one-man committee, the chair, Frank Makepeace, who is now the ex-chair after being ousted by a majority vote of 13-2 after nearly an hour of debate inside the island's courtroom. A string of resignations from the Duzane Committee left it unable to operate effectively with only one member. And in a democracy, you need a majority of members in order to operate. The committee's mandate, which deals with things like waste, the appointment of key officials, roads, and other infrastructure, needs at least half of members to be present and voting for an acceptable and safe outcome. Those were the reasons cited by those who were critical of Consigliere Makepeace, but he suspected ulterior motives. And in a long speech, he alleged that certain members of Chief Pleas were plotting to remove any chairs of committees who didn't agree with them politically, specifically on the issues of greater collaboration and dependence on Guernsey and Guernsey's civil service. He made some fiery claims that some were more interested in creating a free market libertarian society than serving islanders of Sark. Ultimately, these objections and concerns fell on deaf ears because 13 members voted to oust Consigliere Makepeace. The new Duzane Committee is formed of conseillers Paul Williams, Sandra Williams, Booth, Bateson, Barker and Harris. Frank Makepeace also put himself forward, but then withdrew at the last minute, perhaps tongue-in-cheek. The seven members were sworn in late in the day on Wednesday evening of this week. They're now going to get to work on voting and bringing forward propositions for the next summer meeting of Chief Pleas. Many bits of business that were put forward for the meeting, including a change to the laws on tractors operating on Sundays for hospitality business, etc., was pulled because the committee decided it wanted to be able to sit down and consider all these issues as a group rather than propose something that it hadn't actually considered and proposed itself. This was also met with concern from Consigliere Makepeace, who said that a good deal of work had gone into these bills and that they would help the Sark community and were in response particularly to industry feedback, especially on the tractors point. But the committee will have to come back in the summer meeting or hold an extraordinary general meeting of Chief Pleas in order to get these through if they're desperately required. Consigliere Ben Harris came in for heavy criticism from Consigliere Makepeace throughout his speech, who he alleged was one of the key plotters against him and had issues with closer ties in terms of civil service with Guernsey. I spoke with Consigliere Harris after this Chief Pleas meeting, and this is what he had to say.
So first of all, we have a new Duzane committee tonight. You're now a member. What do you make of it and how it's going to affect the Sark public?
Well, I've been a member of the Duzane already for a short while. I've been on it for a couple of months. I joined partly in order to make up the numbers. My sense is that we've got some important pieces of work in our in-tray. We've made some progress towards some of those, but I think we'll be able to do that more effectively now, more efficiently. Sometimes in politics, things are personal. They're about sort of personalities. Sometimes people don't work well together. Sometimes they're about policy. I think this was more of one of those personality questions. You know, I don't particularly want to throw any shade on anyone in particular, but I think we needed to get some new leadership on the committee. It was clear that it was going to be hard to populate it with the previous chairman, although, you know, as I've said to him, he's an enthusiastic guy, he works hard, but I think we needed a fresh start, and that's what we got this evening.
And just on that, I appreciate it's a difficult subject, but accusations were made of a campaign of trying to RID committees of chair people, etc., etc. And also this sense that there is a reluctance or a perceived reluctance from Conseil Makepeace's perspective that there's an unwillingness to work with Guernsey officials or Guernsey departments on various things. What do you make of that? Is there any truth to that?
Well, I am reminded, as a result of Conseil Makepeace's speech, that politics is narrative. And he brought a narrative this evening that bears tangential but rather limited relation to the truth. So the case he was making that I have some vendetta to remove chairs of committees is absurd. I didn't even particularly want to remove him as chair of this committee. It was just a practical necessity because we couldn't populate the committee. I have no problem with working with Guernsey officials. The relationship between Sark and Guernsey will always be a close one. But I think what Conseil Makepeace was doing is making comment about the platform that I stood on in the by-election back in September. And I made it clear that one of my commitments was to retain Sark's autonomy. So there have been some ructions in recent months. As we know, obviously, both Guernsey and Jersey have lost their governments. That didn't happen here, and that might be for the best. But the fact is that there were concerns, serious concerns, about the reform of the civil service. There was the idea that there was going to be a tripod with a Sark civil servant and an Olney civil servant underneath the head of public service in Guernsey. So there were words in that job description such as managerial control, managerial oversight. You know, I can read documents. I used to be a lawyer in a former incarnation, and I can understand the ordinary English meaning of words. So some of us were concerned about that, and we were concerned about things needing to be above board and not having a constitutional impact where one was not intended and one had not been agreed by Chief Pleas. Now, what Conseil Makepeace was doing this evening was taking my principled concerns, which I stood in an election on, and trying to make out that I had some personal vendetta or that I was trying to... I mean, it's fantasy, it's absurd. The reason he was making that case was... in order to try and stay as chairman of the committee. That's the only reason.
So you would say the concern is more about the kind of constitutional setup of how the civil service administrates the island rather than, say, you know, the contributions of the States Vet, which we heard about tonight, or working with Visit Guernsey.
Yeah, I mean, Sark's worked with Guernsey and Guernsey institutions for its, very, very long time, sort of decades. The relationship's probably getting closer over time. And in many cases, that might be a sensible thing to do. But we need to be wary of constitutional impacts of things where none are intended. We need to be clear that when we're making decisions on this island, we're making decisions with our eyes open about what to engage with and what not. There are many people on the island who would... Not many. There are differences of opinions, right? I mean, I think... It's no secret that we've got a public expenditure problem. You know, we're not bringing in as much revenue as we could. I personally think we're spending too much as well. I think we need to look at public expenditure. There's a feeling on Ireland from some people that we ought to get much closer to Guernsey. I think they feel that it will deal with problems. My point would be that it's not necessarily a helpful thing to go to the back of the queue as part of a larger entity. I think that Sark has administered itself very effectively for the best part of, 450 years, over now, actually. And I think it's our duty to carry on those important traditions.
And just final quick question off the back of that. Would you say that there's public appetite to maintain as much autonomy and independence from Sark, whether it be government or just culturally?
Well, look, it's a live debate, but I think the majority of people on the island respect the island's traditions and cherish them and wish to see close and effective cooperation with our larger neighbour, and indeed perhaps with the other islands as well. But I think the majority of people wish to maintain our autonomy and our ability to broadly govern ourselves.
Concerns were also raised by Conseil Makepeace in his speech that two of the individuals who had just been elected or nominated to the Dusain Committee were currently facing code of conduct complaints submitted by himself regarding the tenant and the lease of the Old Island Hall, a new cafe/pub which is very close to the Chief Pleas building. It's been dilapidated and vacant for many years, but is now an operating business. However, he has concerns that there wasn't a competitive tender process and that the lease that was eventually awarded to a private individual was extremely cheap. The outcome of the Code of Conduct complaints is a live process and is ongoing. We're not sure whether it will be escalated or when it will be resolved, but it's one to watch out for. One of the members who is at the centre of that Code of Conduct complaint, Consiglio Leliva, has promised that he will stand aside if he is found, quote-unquote, guilty by the Code of Conduct process, or if he did commit any wrongdoing, it's likely that a formal reprimand would recommend that he stand down from his official position. It's significant because the Dizane is responsible for various issuing and administration of licences in the island. That was just one element of the meeting, with 24 items on the agenda. This was eventually slimmed down because of various propositions that were pulled by the Dizane committee, not wanting to present propositions that it hadn't tabled itself. The meeting started with some casual updates from various committee leads and service areas. At first, we learnt that Consiglio Caldridge, because she had been absent for three consecutive meetings due to health reasons, was deemed to have resigned under the reform law of SARC. While it was acknowledged that these health reasons had prevented her from attending, the rules are the rules. But there are two by-elections coming up, one created by her deemed to have resigned, but also another one on the 15th of May, and it was indicated that she would be able to stand in that election. We also learned from Consiglio Plummer from the Medical Committee that the island's sole doctor had resigned, and her last day would be on May the 5th. In the interim, they've sought a cover for 2 months, but are going to start advertising for an interim doctor. She also said that it's important that they have a long-term solution for a new model of healthcare which is sustainable for the future. One of the items on the agenda was the fact that currently there's no process for submitting a complaint against one of the police constables in the island. This was highlighted by Consiglio Makepeace. But he said that there had been a meeting with Rory Hardy, the chief officer of police and the head of bailiwick law enforcement in Guernsey, and that there was very positive results come from that. It's understood that some foundations have been laid for a closer working relationship with bailiwick law enforcement and SARC. Another item that was debated was the control of dogs legislation. This was about unspayed dogs, and it was considered that the existing legislation, which stretched back to the 1970s, was onerous on pet owners. Having originally been introduced for working dogs, it was found that it was causing hassle for those who now keep dogs and other animals as pets. It was also deemed to be practically unenforceable by Consiglio Plummer. She said if any accidental puppies are born, it's the responsibility of the owner. This debate brought Consiglio Sandra Williams to her feet, who raised the issue of dog fouling in the street. She's the head of the tourism committee and said piles of dog poo in the roads is unsightly for visitors, and also when it ends up in residents' front drives. She wondered what could be done and whether there should be a rule to keep dogs on the lead while out and about. Consiglio Plummer acknowledged that this is a very common problem in Guernsey too, but it's also difficult to police. One suggestion was that you could encourage chipping of dogs and also analyse the faeces of dogs to see which canine was responsible, but this was deemed to be costly. However, the committee agreed to go back and look at it. One interesting item was the water survey. SARC has agreed to pay a consultant to come over and investigate the island's water system, testing for bacteria after there were anecdotal reports throughout the years and from certain low-scale reports that there's E. coli, boron and other heavy metals in some of the water. All the water in SARC comes from boreholes and no proper analysis has ever been conducted on it. SARC is aiming to do this as it considers whether it needs to increase its population considerably in the coming years to remain sustainable and viable. It did emerge from Consiglio Sandra Williams that HSC from Guernsey and Environmental Health had come over previously to conduct tests on certain boreholes, but despite requests made to the Guernsey officials, they hadn't shared this data with them. Consiglio John Gill, who led the water survey proposition through Chief Please, agreed that it would be helpful to access that data and called on those who have ever tested their own water supply, himself included, to submit their findings to the researcher when he's on island to aid his investigations. A debate which brought many to their feet was the tourism report. brought by Consigliere Sandra Williams. She said advertising had worked very well in recent years, and also the visit of J.K. Rowling had given a boost on media and social media. She said the officers were doing their best to promote all that Sark has to offer. However, this brought Consigliere Barnard to his feet, who suggested that Sark ought to do with a strategy or a marketing plan for the island to understand how they can better address the falling visitor numbers in the post-COVID world. Consigliere Williams promised to go back and have a look at it, and she bat off accusations that the committee doesn't meet as often as it should. This was then quickly followed by the revelation that the Corsair de Sark, Sark Shipping's principal and fastest passenger boat, had a cracked disc plate and was currently in St. Sampson's Harbour awaiting a replacement part. She also suggested that the pricing of the Sark Shipping Company was putting visitors off and discouraging night stays. She said for a foot passenger, it was cheaper to go to Weymouth or Poole via Condor than to travel to Sark overnight because of disparity between morning and afternoon pricing. She said that this is something that needs to be dug into, while also highlighting certain initiatives that have proved successful. They recently did offers over the Easter weekend to try and get families over, which proved a success. And they also did a trial run of a Mother's Day, which saw 96 people come to the island for a day trip, which was met with warm reception by the members of Chief Pleas. Policy and Finance identified that there was a property tax loophole that allowed companies which owned properties to be sold without having to update Cadastre, the central register of properties. This meant certain companies could go without paying this property transfer tax on Sark, one of the very limited number of taxes it levies on individuals and businesses in the island. Chief Pleas agreed, through the information report, to put the public and companies on notice that no matter what, they would be subject to some sort of tax for the transfer of property. This was against a backdrop where Sark is currently consulting the community on tax rises in a very broad brush, non-committal way at this stage. But it raised the theme, with John Giel saying that they need more general taxation ideas and that it is more widely recognised now in the community that taxes are less fair than they should be. And that brings a conclusion to Out and About in Sark for this Bailiwick Express podcast. It was a very interesting meeting which lasted much longer than usual. We'll have much more on what happened in Chief Pleas this week and follow-ons with the significance for Guernsey, such as Bailiwick law enforcement, Moneyval, and the fallout from the Duzane drama. Thank you for joining us.